For the Lord. And be seated, please.
You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. Of all the praise.
You are worthy,
you
Lord.
You are worthy, Lord. You are the one who made the heaven and earth. Oh, you are worthy, Lord, of all praise. You are the one who created everything.
Father, we thank you once again. Be thou glorified in Jesus' precious name. Somebody excited to be here, say loud amen.
Amen.
I believe that this downpour is for somebody here, a downpour of massive blessings. Exodus chapter 23, verse 25. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. This evening we are looking at the subject, God's provision for divine health. God's provision for divine health. Our objective is to understand straight away, scriptural provisions for the health and vitality of God's people. Scriptural provisions for the health and vitality of God's people. It is made very clear throughout scripture that God's perfect will for his people is divine health. Perfect will. We shall look at scriptures later, shortly. But before we go on to those scriptures, I am going to be looking at 8 facts from scripture that shows that God's perfect will for his people or for his creation is divine health. For the sake of time, I am going to look at 4 of them straight away. What are the facts of scripture that shows that divine health is the portion of God's people? Number one, God made man in his image and after his likeness. And the image of God is sickless. Sickless. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, and God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God made man, God created man in his image, in his own image, in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. We can stop there. God made man in his image. And we know that God is absolutely sickless, tireless, and weariless. God can't be sick. God can't be tired. God can't be wearied. And he made man to look like him. In Psalm 121, I'll start reading from verse 1 all the way to verse 4. Say, I'll lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. That is the kind of God we serve. He does not sleep, he does not slumber, and he is not tired. He does not sleep, he does not slumber, and he is not sick. He does not sleep, he does not slumber, and he is not weak. That is evidence number one, or fact number one, that shows that God's perfect will for you is divine health. God has never and will never complain of headache. I speak to somebody here today. The image of God that you carry inside you shall come alive in this season. The likeness of God in you shall come alive in this season. And every trace of sickness, every trace of weariness, every trace of tiredness today shall die. Lift your right and say, I was made in the image of God. God is tireless, sickless, weariless. So I am sickless, I am tireless, I am weariless. Shout the loudest, amen. Number two fact in scripture says that the first man, Adam, lived to a very great age without any trace of affliction or infirmity. The first man, Adam, lived to a very great age without any trace of affliction or infirmity. How do I know? In Genesis chapter 5 from verse 3 all the way to verse 5, scripture speaking said, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. And he died. 930 years. Do you know the implication of 930 years? Without one day of sickness, without one day of affliction, without one day. People, I want you to know that Adam was the first fruit of humanity. Why is that important? The condition of the first sets the pace for the condition of the rest. Romans chapter 11 verse 16 tells us the law of the first fruit. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. If you can trace how the first look like, then you can trace how you look like. Even though from the days of Adam till now, because of the multiplication of iniquity in human generation, the lifespan had reduced. But yet, vitality, health, energy remains the plan of God for as long as we live on earth. Am I communicating? The last time you complained of an affliction shall be the last forever. Lift your right and say, in the name of Jesus, I reject pain, I reject affliction. I reject infirmity. I reject infection. In the name of Jesus. Because the condition of the first man, Adam, determines my condition. Adam was sickless. Even after he fell, I am sickless. Even as I stand. Give the Lord a big clap of hand and take your seat. Why is this important? It's important because mentality determines reality. What you know determines what you show. Insight determines impact. Insight determines dispatch. Insight determines result. Very important. Our realities cannot be the same if our mentality is not the same. Very important. That is the second fact we know from Scripture that shows God's perfect will for his people in his divine health. Fact number three. Jesus Christ the Master functioned aggressively and tirelessly for 3.5 years without any trace of infirmity. Again, Jesus Christ, our Master, the Master, functioned aggressively and tirelessly for 3.5 years without any trace of infirmity. He didn't break down once. One day he ministered continuously for 3 days, nonstop. Some of you are concerned that we preach only 6 services. Our service starts from 6 a.m. and ends by 2 p.m., 2:15 at times, 2:30, at times it goes to 3. His own will start from 6 a.m. today to 6 a.m. Thursday to 6 a.m. Friday to end on 6 a.m. Saturday before the people left. What was he saying? His content. He was the Word made flesh. He couldn't lack word. He was word in motion. He said in Matthew chapter 15 verse 32, he said, these people have been with me for 3 days. I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days. They have eaten nothing. I will not send them away fasting in case they faint in the way. That is, it is for them I am concerned. He was talking for 3 days. Nobody mentioned anything like water. He wasn't talking about his own eating. He had enough energy to keep going. See, what is bothering me is the people. They may faint on the road. Give them something to eat, not give me something to eat. In Mark chapter 8 verse 2 to 3, we saw the same scripture there. Mark chapter 8 verse 2 and 3. You see, I have compassion on the multitude because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way. For divers of them came from far. And I am speaking now, I can hear somebody saying, that is Jesus Christ now. Am I Jesus Christ? I caught you. Because the Bible said, as his Father sent him, he sent you. In John chapter 17 verse 18, Jesus speaking said, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Everyone who calls on the name of Jesus, as you sent me, whatever you equipped me with, to function with, that is what I have equipped them with. As thou hast sent me into the world, so have I sent them into the world. He repeated that in John chapter 20 verse 21. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Even so send I you. Shakobagadagalagaya. Every department of a lion is lionic. If he is the Christ, and the Bible calls us the body of Christ, then the head of Christ cannot be well and the body be sick. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? The head of Christ cannot be well and his body is breaking down every day from one affliction to another. Somebody shout, God forbid. Take your seat and look at Ephesians chapter 1. I'll start from verse 16. For this, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards you who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand, far above all principalities and powers, and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and made him to be the head over, and put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. The church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The church, which is his body. The church is the body of Christ. The body, the Christ wasn't afflicted and thrown on the bed once, and the body is not allowed. No witch could oppress him one day, and no witch is permitted to have oppressed any member of the body of Christ. No occultic man can tie down his destiny, and no occultic man can tie down your destiny. Lift your right and say, I am the body. I am the body. I am the body of Christ. My head is not sick, so my body cannot be sick. Take your seat. Yes, that is where it concerns you. See, Jesus Christ he's God now. He said, you and me, we are the body of Christ. Alright? That's why I said every department of a lion is a lion. Anything about an elephant is big. Is God speaking to somebody here? Now, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 2 said, wherefore also, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. Looking unto Jesus, not looking unto a man, not looking unto, looking unto Jesus. You know the meaning of that? What you can't find in Christ, don't expect it. What you cannot find with him, what you can't find in Christ, looking unto Jesus. As far as your faith is concerned, Jesus is the example. Looking unto Jesus, the author, the initiator and the perfecter, the initiator and the completer of your faith. Take your seat. Uncle, please come. I want 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Just the man with the clergy. Yes, I'll come. Just come in the way you are sitting. Face the side. Put your hand on his shoulder. And that translation says that Jesus Christ is the head coach of our train. Do you remember that? He's the head coach of our train. Come, sir. You don't leave him. That's why your hand is on his shoulder. Turn left. Follow me. Come on. Come on. Is it possible for this head to go one way and this one's go the other way? Other way. He's the head coach of our train. If this is not passing through the valley of affliction, This cannot pass. If you are passing through the avenues of vitality, that is where they are passing. It's the same train that is moving them. Their origin and destination are the same. They are headed in the same direction. That is what the scripture says. It didn't say that you expect what happened to your father or your mother, or look up to your forefathers and how they died and how they are afflicted, how everybody in your family has hypertension and everybody at a certain age have diabetes and they are suffering from eye problem and they are suffering from ulcer and they cannot give birth to children. It didn't say look unto your ancestors or look unto your sisters and brothers. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. The meaning of that is, whatever his faith produced, your faith shall produce. Whatever his faith in God produced, your faith shall produce. Whatever result he got by following God, you will get the same result by following God. Somebody shout, yes! Take your seat. God bless you. God bless you. Look at your neighbor. Say, the condition of the head is the condition of the body. Say, where the head coach is going is where the rest of the coach is going. Where the head coach does not pass, the rest of the coaches cannot pass. Say, I am following the head coach. It is up to you to accept whatever the devil imposed on you, or to reject it. It's up to you. Is God speaking to somebody here? Somebody finally tonight will drop the basket of affliction. I don't know who it is, but you, your family, you will drop the basket of affliction, the basket of infirmity, the basket of disease. Shout the loudest amen. Shout amen at the top of your voice. Shout it loudest. Give the Lord the praise and take your seat. The other day, I was preaching on Sunday, and I read about Caleb, who went to Joshua and said, give me this mountain. Joshua chapter 10 from verse 12. He said, you were there that day when Moses told, was it in Kaduna I was reading it? He said, you were there that day when Moses told me that anywhere my foot tread is my portion. And my feet trod this mountain. It is my portion. Give it to me. He said, I am 85 years old now. And it was 40 years ago. Moses spoke to us. He said, my strength has not reduced. As it was then, so is it now. For war. For war. Hey! So is my strength now. For war. For war. But to go out and to come in. He said, give me this mountain. An old man, 85 years old, is not asking for valley. He's not asking for plain ground. He's asking for mountain. And that was not enough. He said, I am aware that Goliath's forefathers are on the mountain. Anakim's giants. Say, I will whip them. Don't give me the mountain and forget about them. Leave them for me. I will drive them out. Said to people, if an 85-year-old man is talking like that, nobody should complain if I jump from this altar. Because at the age of 85, I hope to be jumping more. And you too. Say a louder amen. Say a louder amen. Say amen at the top of your voice. Little writer, say, I have the energy and the strength of Christ in me. What is not in him cannot be in me. I am healthy. I am whole. I am strong. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Was that number three? Oh, I thought I have finished. All right, number four, which is the last we'll take before concerning the facts that makes us know that God's will for his people is divine. Number four said, the Spirit of God in the child of God releases the impartation of vitality and divine life. The Spirit of God in the child of God releases the impartation of vitality and divine life. You don't know what to do when you lakaza balako ratapaka ladies le koko baga lagaraga digozogo loboroto sokokolala. The Spirit of God in Romans chapter 8 verse 11, he said, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, vitalize, animate, vivify, embody, saturate, infiltrate, percolate, shall quicken your mortal bodies, impart life, impart health. Another translation says, unto your perishable bodies, unto your earth doomed bodies, unto your fragile bodies. You know that this body is dust, is clay. Just fickle and very, very fragile. He said, but that Spirit of God that dwelleth in you animates, revitalizes, refreshes, vivifies, invigorates. That is why when the Spirit of God is at work in your body, you have energy higher than your contemporaries. I'm talking from experience. When we newly married, I went to preach, and there was a shoe that I liked. I think it was a new shoe, but it was too small. But I liked it. How many of you know that if a shoe is too small, it's a problem, and if it's too big, it's a problem. If it is too big, you're likely to walk like this. And if it's too small, that was how I was before I reached the altar. And I'm asking myself, what have you done now? You like this shoe now, you have worn it now. Okay, it's paining your leg now. Will you pull the shoe now and preach barefoot? They will misunderstand you. Oh Lord, Mata Shakala Baradagala. Before I can say praise the Lord, open your Bibles to Saka Kogalabara. The pain disappeared. I wasn't aware that I was wearing a shoe that was tight, that was painful. I think that was the last day I wore it. I preached like somebody from another world, like a tornado. By the time I finished preaching, power moved, all manner of things happened. Lord, I thank you. After I finished preaching, as I'm going back, she'll say, I want to remind you. We have to continue from where we stopped. So I respected the anointing and respected the Spirit and relieved your pain. I mean, it was so practical. I learned many lessons that first of all, when you put others first. Because I was not preaching to myself, I was ministering to the people. Then whatever inconvenience I had disappeared. Then when the Spirit of God is moving at peak, it takes over. It just suspends everything that is negative in your system. Am I communicating? Take your seat. The Spirit of God is also called the Spirit of Might, the Spirit of Energy. In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 and 2, he said, "There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, a branch shall go out of his roots." He said, "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him." And what is it? It's called the Spirit of Wisdom, the Spirit of Understanding, the Spirit of Counsel, and the Spirit of Might. That was the Spirit upon Samson that was making him to uproot gates. The Bible said the Spirit of God came upon him mightily. Unusual energy. Until the people say, "What is the secret of this, of your strength?" You know, in Sunday school, they drew Samson like somebody with big muscle. I don't think so. Because if it was the muscles that was responsible, they wouldn't ask him. No, they will see the muscles. But when they looked at him, you don't look like a wrestler. What is the secret? The Bible said the Spirit of God would rise mightily upon Samson. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of Might. Micah chapter 3 verse 8 also. Micah said, "But I am full. Truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and also full of judgment, and also full of might." So the Spirit of God fills a person with energy, with vitality, with resilience, with ruggedity, ferocity. It just fills you with kakrakarity. I'm sure that is in the dictionary. Try and look for it. If you can't find it in the dictionary, write it with your hand. That I heard it in church. That there is a word called kakrakarity. The synonyms of, kakrakarity. Is God speaking to somebody here? So every time you are just there, days are passing. You are not praying. You speak in tongues occasionally. You are playing with weakness. The more you flow in the Spirit, the more vibrant. Smith Wigglesworth was a man of the Spirit. As Smith Wigglesworth said, that a knife, no knife will cut his body till the day of his death. As an old man, he stepped out of this life in strength. E.W. Kenyon, I heard that in his 80s, when he was walking, young men would be running to catch up with him. They would be running to catch up with him. Because of the buoyancy and the vibrancy of the Spirit. Beloved brothers and sisters, the Spirit of God in us is not for fancy. It is not just for charismatic dengarism. For somebody to be doing guy and say, "I speak in tongues, man." When was the last time you pray in tongues? Praise God. I can tell you, I he has not prayed for 15 minutes in the last 1 week. So we have diverse provisions for the health, for the strength, for the resilience of the child of God. Please take your seat. And if you are in doubt, just look at the person standing before you. In terms of the restlessness of the shadow, and by his mercies, the supply of unusual strength is coming upon you today. The same voice that is preaching is singing 6 times on Sunday. And the voice is clear. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It's not natural. And you're on your feet. It's not normal. And you are preaching, and not that you are lecturing. Praise the Lord, you know. I want to. I prophesy every trace of weakness in your body disappears now. Every weakness, every bloodstream disease, every disease from your mother, your father, your brothers, your sisters, whatever follows your lineage, afflicting you now, disappears now. Shout the loudest, amen. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Let me give you three scriptures that you need to listen to. Exodus chapter 15 and in verse 26. Face one direction, everybody. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. And what does it say? Peace be still. Amen. And he said, if thou will hearken diligently. If thou will diligently. Now, these are promises. If you will hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. This is the first reference to the Hebrew word Rapha. I am your Jehovah Rapha. That is the word there that you saw. I am the Lord that healeth thee. It is present continuous. I healed you yesterday. I am healing you now. And I am on standby. I am the Lord that healeth thee.
You are the Lord that healeth me. I am the Lord your healer. I sent my word and healed your disease. I am the Lord your healer.
Rapha means three things minimum. It means repairer, like a mechanic. It means mender, like a tailor. Someone who repairs. Someone who sutures, who mends, who stitches. And someone who cures, like a physician. So I am your mechanic. I am your tailor. I am your doctor. That is what Jehovah said I am to you. Because matters in your body that needs tailoring, I tailor them. Whatever needs repair, I repair them. Whatever needs replacement, I replace them. And where you need a physician, I am available. Lift your right hand and say, Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I invite you, Lord, to be my repairer, to be my tailor, to be my doctor. You are welcome, Lord. Scripture number 2, Psalm 147 and in verse 2. Psalm 147 and in verse 2. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Again, we are seeing God healing. He healeth. He healeth. He healeth. Present continuous. Jeremiah, final scripture, chapter 30, verse 17. Jeremiah 30, verse 17. For I will restore health. Shout the loudest, amen. I will restore health unto thee. I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Lift your right hand and say, restore it, Lord. Shout it loudest, restore it, Lord. Loud most, restore it, Lord. That is, if the devil took it, I put it back. You know, God did that for you some time ago. If not that God did it, maybe we would have been saying something else now. Totally getting paralyzed.
I was.
He was paralyzed, really?
Yes, I was paralyzed.
What happened?
I just arrived at Nairobi, Jomo Kenyatta Airport, and I couldn't stand.
Couldn't stand anymore?
And they said it was spondylosis.
Yes.
You know.
Lumbar spondylosis?
Yes,
L5. L5?
Yes, sir.
Lumbar 5. He came here paralyzed.
That's right.
Not walking. But he was walking before he traveled.
That's right.
And the devil took the health. And this scripture was fulfilled. I will restore health. I don't know who is here today. And I don't know what the devil took from you. It is returning back now. It is returning back now. Your eyesight will see clearly again. I am speaking to somebody. Your eyesight will be clear again. Your knees will function well again. Your womb will still carry a child. Everything the devil damaged in your body is getting repaired back again. Shout the loudest, amen. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. There are so many people like that here. The enemy stole your health, and God restored your health. In Kaduna, a mother was brought to the office, the mother of one of our ministers here, walking with stick and moving like that, almost gone. And I collected the stick, laid hands on the leg. Mama began to stretch the leg. Before you knew, she began to dance. The place exploded. When she went out of the pastor's office, those who saw her entering, seeing her going out, it exploded outside. I am the Lord who restored health unto you. Don't ever forget. Don't ever allow the devil make you feel like whatever you have lost is a permanent loss. He has the tendency to make you feel that maybe you can't walk again. Maybe you can't see again. Maybe this and that cannot happen. But he said, I will restore health. I will put it back. Somebody shout, put it back, Lord. Again, I announce to you, whatever the enemy took from you, God is putting it back. Every loss in your life that the devil is deceiving you, that is a permanent loss, I declare that lie of the devil cancel. Jesus' precious name. Take your seat as a round of, how do you experience divine health? Experiencing divine health. Number one, possess scriptural revelations on divine health. Scriptural revelations. The kind of things you just heard now. Hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it until it takes over your mind. Possess divine health. Go out there. Go out there. Possess scriptural revelations on divine health. The Bible said in Psalm 107 verse 20, it said, he sent forth his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. So the kind of word you have determines the level of health you experience. He sent forth his word. Word carries healing power. Word are health capsules. And you must understand that nothing terminates darkness like light. Nothing terminates darkness like light. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 to 3, the Bible said, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Infirmity is darkness. Scripture is light. You just hit the darkness with the light. And don't wait for darkness to come first. Put the light on. Hello? Put the light on. Remain illuminated with revelation. Remain lighted with insight. The best form of attack, of defense, is at attack, especially in the midst of war. Number two, operate faith for divine health. Operate faith for divine health. Operate faith. What do we mean by that? Let the revelation that you just possess now, let it proceed into conviction. And let conviction proceed into corresponding action. That is a platform for faith. Operate faith for divine health. Matthew chapter 9 verse 22, Jesus speaking to a woman said, when he saw her, he said, daughter, the woman with the issue of blood, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. So faith makes whole. Faith makes whole. Faith is curative. It's curative. Faith is therapeutic. In Mark chapter 10 verse 52, to blind Bartimaeus, Jesus speaking, he said, and Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. What are we talking about? This revelation of the scripture that we're talking about, carry it and let it become your conviction. And refuse to be afraid of affliction. Am I communicating at all? And draw strength from scripture. And act in line with the word of God to you concerning your health. When you operate faith for divine health, there is no way you can be a victim of satanic arrows of destruction. Finally, fulfill conditions for divine health. Express in the Bible, possess scriptural revelations, operate faith, and then fulfill conditions. I want to say that the promises we have just seen, or the provisions of divine health, they don't automatically translate to divine health. No. For example, there are natural laws of health that must be obeyed. For example, somebody travels to England or to Norway, those upper places like Russia side where the winter is very biting, and pulls his shirt. And they say, what are you doing? He say, by his stripes I am healed. Takes off his jacket. Say, what are you doing? Say, please. The scripture said, they will pack him to intensive care unit. He may not survive the pneumonia. He will report in eternity to answer for stupidity. Are you following what I'm saying here today? Faith is not an excuse for foolishness. So, there are laws, and we are going to talk about many conditions for divine health on Sunday. Practical. I heard that some white people went to a Nigerian restaurant in Korea, and they said that, what do you have? When they told them, said, there's Nigerian pepper soup here.
And they didn't know what pepper soup was. They say it's very good. And if you know the Obama show kind of pepper soup. It's pepper soup. Pepper is the main thing. The reason for the soup is pepper. By the time those people drank the pepper soup, they opened their eyes in emergency. Ambulance carried them. Stand up on your feet. I'm sure when next they hear soup, they will run. Oh my God. So we must fulfill the conditions. I'll talk more about this in the second service, but by the time we come on Sunday, we'll talk. Some people don't have diabetes. They may have diacokis. Too much drinking of Coke. Or diasugaries. You see? And they are binding the devil. So there are laws of divine health. God is not a transgressor. God does not break his own rules. God speaking to anybody here, say amen. I'll read one scripture in that regard and then we close. Psalm 107 verse 17. Why would we do that in standing? Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. So it differentiated transgression from iniquity. It's a breaking some laws. Fools, because they decided to break and refuse to obey certain laws. Whether it was natural laws or divine health laws or physical health laws, they are afflicted. That will never be your portion. Amen. This week is your week of health. Amen. And the health and the healing that God will supply your body today will remain with you the rest of your life. Amen. Lift up your two hands and let's begin to appreciate God. Begin to appreciate God. Honor God, adore Him, worship Him, magnify Him. Father, we give you the praise. We give you the honor. We give you the adoration. Worship Him. Adore Him. Glorify Him. We love you. We honor you. We magnify you. Lift your voice and worship Him. Worship Him at this moment. Worship Him, honor Him, adore Him. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' precious name. Lift those hands high up and begin to tell the Lord. Say, Father, I thank you for the provisions you have for me. For divine health. Say, Father, thank you because you made me in your image to live in health. Thank you, Lord, because the first man, Adam, lived in health. I live in health. Thank you because my master Jesus lived in health. So I live in health. Thank you because the Holy Spirit is in me, supplying me health and energy. So I live in health. In the name of Jesus, Father, I ask today that you'll give me the grace to access light, revelational light that will move me into divine health. I ask that you give me the grace to operate the faith that is relevant for divine health. I ask that you give me the grace to meet the conditions for divine health. I receive the grace in Jesus' name. Lift your hands and your voice and speak to God. Thank you.
In Jesus' precious name. Lift up your two hands. Close your eyes. I give this call to everyone who is here tonight. If you don't belong to Jesus Christ and you are not a member of the body of Christ, what applied to him cannot apply to you. What affected him can't affect you. But you are here tonight and you are saying to me, Pastor, this message is for me. I want to be a real member of the body of Christ. I don't want to live in sin. I don't want to offend God with my life. I want to hand over my life to Jesus. Wherever you are today, pray this prayer with me. Whether you are here live, whether you are here on the gallery, and whether you are here in the overflows, pray this prayer with me, or you are watching via the internet. Say after me, Lord Jesus, I come before you tonight to make my ways right with you. I ask that you forgive me my sins, Lord, and make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord, and no turning back. Forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. All those who prayed that prayer, thank you, Lord. You can take that song. Can I see your hand? You prayed that prayer of surrender. Quickly come forward here. God bless you. Pick your Bibles and your bags and let's pray for you. Pick your Bibles, pick your bags, and step forward here. I'll give you the count of 7-1.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh.
Thank you,
three.
Lord, for your love.
Thank you, Lord. That is a tonic on Sunday, but this is the first release of hell. Jesus touched one man twice before he could see. How many of you remember? This is the first touch. The release of his body and his blood. Whatever could not survive the body of Christ and couldn't survive in the blood of Jesus, whether it is HIV, sickle cell, cancer, hemorrhoids, endometriosis, whatever it is called, ancestral inherited diseases or affliction, whatever is in your life currently that cannot stand the body of Christ, today by this communion it is flushed out of your body in Jesus' name. I prophesy and I decree that overnight my God will send his angels to walk on your body. It was when Adam was sleeping that God operated on him. As you sleep tonight, any area of life where you need to be operated on, whether your eyes to begin to see clearer, or your ovaries, or your womb, or your bloodstream, or your heart, or your lungs, or your liver, anywhere you need an operation from heaven, it is carried out tonight. With spiritual surgeons and technicians and technologies and physicians, in Jesus' name, a new day of health is upon you, and I call it done.